As patriots, it's our duty to rise up in a world full of darkness. Evil comes in many forms, and it lurks around unexpected corners. It's time to stop wondering what will happen if it comes to war. War is already here. It's time to rise. Rise up for truth. Rise up for freedom. Rise up for our rights as American citizens. And now, at the head of the militia, here's your host, Mickey Garris.
Hello, my fellow patriots, and welcome to another riveting show of Patriot Uprising Radio. Hope you guys are all doing well out there and enjoying yourself on this hot, and I mean incredibly hot, Saturday afternoon. Holy smokes! Somebody turned on the heat, somebody turned on the summer. So I guess it's better late than never. Actually, weather like we're having, I prefer never. We had a wet spring, we had a cooler spring. We got hot real quick though, real fast, and I'm not ready for it. So this white boy, actually, you know the truth. I'm not white. I'm part Mexican, part Polish, so Plexican. But yeah, I'm definitely getting a little bit of a tan in this heat, and I'm just not cut out for weather like this. But like always, we got to complain about something, right? So in Oregon, real quick, we're going to be dark at 4 o'clock in the afternoon, and we're going to be cold, and we're going to be upset about that. So we'll take this weather and the longer daylight hours as long as we can get away with it. We've had a pretty good week here in my family, and in Polk County, like many places across the country and definitely in the state of Oregon, so many activities because of this COVID-19 was canceled. And so a lot of things that families look forward to do annually every single year, like participate in the fair, go to the county fairs, go to the state fair. My family, my entire life, we've been big 4-H'ers. So I grew up in various 4-H programs and showed different animals with my brothers. And it's just something that we really loved to do and had a passion for. And it taught us a lot of important life lessons and money management and responsibility. And so now that I have kids, I'm excited that I'm able to let them share in the experience. And they've been doing 4-H projects for the last several years. And this year when COVID broke out and they started talking about closing down all the fairs, it was really sad news and really depressing news, actually, for a lot of these 4-H'ers. They look forward to this all year long. And, you know, there's a lot of friends and relationships that these kids make that are only during fair time and through the various 4-H FFA activities. And so, you know, you got a lot of different kids that come together from different communities, different schools, and that's the only time for them to get to see each other and get to know each other. And they develop these relationships, and these are relationships that they've developed that they've had for many, many years. And then this year they're told, hey, you know, we're not going to be able to do these activities. You're not going to be able to go to the fair and show your animals that you've worked very hard on for this last year, that you spent your own hard-earned money to purchase, and you've invested the time to work on this animal, and you want to go and showcase it. You want to show it off to the public, show people what you did, your accomplishment. And if you're in the market programs, like my kids are, we do market hogs. You're looking forward to after that money and time and effort is invested into your project, you're looking forward to being able to sell it at the auction and at least recoup your investment and hopefully have enough money to go out and purchase your project for the following year. And that's typically how it is. And like I said, these programs are so important to kids for what they teach them, but also the friendships that they build along the way and those relationships. And so this year when the news came out that there won't be any fairs, that everything was shut down because of COVID-19, it was, like I said, sad news. It was depressing for a lot of kids. And you know, kudos to the counties that worked really hard and the volunteers that worked really hard to figure out how to make sure the kids got something, even if it looks a little bit different. And in my county, they got the green light, and the Livestock Association and various volunteers and the 4-H and FFA clubs got together to put together at least a show. And the fair in Polk County was not allowed to open up to the public, but the kids got to come there with their animals and show their animals, and got to see those friends that they've developed over the years. And, you know, much smaller venue, much more rules in place in regards to social distancing. We tried to make the animals social distance, and, you know, I kept yelling and telling these darn pigs, 6 feet, 6 feet, but they don't listen to me. They're it's tough to make a pig social distance. And, you know, they told me, though, we don't have to do it. This is not the swine flu. So anyway, long story short, these amazing volunteers put something together for the kids and gave the kids, albeit a little bit different this year, they gave them some normalcy. They got to get together and be kids. And it was amazing that they got to do that. We loved watching it, and the kids definitely appreciated it. But it also made them realize, and it made me realize, just how crappy this is, how much stuff they're actually missing out on, moments that they will not ever get back because, you know, we've been shut down, because we've been scared about this pandemic that's really a non-issue. It's not even a pandemic. And we're being held hostage, and we're being told we can't do things and that we have to do certain things based on somebody's made-up illness. And no, I'm not saying that COVID-19 is made up. I'm just saying the fear that has been instilled in us is completely manufactured. And I don't know what you want to blame that on. Is it some type of, you know, way that the government or certain groups within our communities can try to control us? Is it some big experiment? You know, how much are we like sheep that we're just going to do as we're told and follow? It's just really interesting to watch this unfold. And I know a lot of people have had about enough of it, and there's starting to be more resistance. There's starting to be more rallies across the state, across the country, for opening things up and stop these ridiculous mandates. And that's exactly what we need to do. We need to stop being the silent majority, right? We talked a lot the last show we had last week about we are, I believe, the majority, but we've gotten some bad situations in this country because of apathy, not paying attention, not doing enough, not engaging enough, not educating ourselves. And I told you guys the last couple shows that you have a responsibility, a duty to your country even, to get the word out. We need to encourage others to get out and vote, to be more active. You need to talk to your neighbors and your family and your friends, and you need to explain to them exactly what we stand to lose as a country. And it just really hit home for me this weekend, being at the fairgrounds with all these other kids and their projects that they've worked so hard on, and seeing what that means to these kids and how important it is and the life lessons it teaches them. And then realizing that there's still so much more that they're missing out on because of the leadership we have in this country, in this state, and in a lot of our cities. And it's time for us to fight for our kids, ladies and gentlemen. It's time for us to say we're not going to put up with our kids missing out on opportunity. And we don't know exactly what they're all going to miss out on, but once those opportunities are gone, they're gone. Not going to school. I mean, what are they trying to do to our society by not properly educating our kids? This should be a huge red flag. Now, we know that public education is not always the best. We've talked a lot about how there's indoctrination and flat out brainwashing. Sometimes it happens in public education. And when you get into the colleges, especially from a lot of the liberal professors that are teaching our kids. But there is some basic fundamentals that should not be dictated or influenced by political ideology, that are things that our children absolutely have to learn. The basics: reading, writing, arithmetic, history, okay? And by removing the kids from education, by denying them of education, how much damage are we really doing to this generation? What kind of long-term effects is that going to have? What kind of responsibilities are they not learning? What kind of life lessons are they not learning? How are they going to function as adults in society when they get of age, when they don't know a lot of these things that they learn in school? And it's not always about the course. It's not always about that math class. It's not always about the history class. It's about what they learn, how they learn how to function in society, how they learn how to get along with their peers, how they learn to listen to their teachers, how they learn to follow rules. You know, these are all things that they'll carry over when they get into the job world. And they're not always going to have a boss that they like. They're not always going to have like the fact that they have to get up and be at work at a certain time every morning. It's those discipline skills that they learn in school that we often, it's such a big part of their education, but we often don't consider it part of their education. It's just natural things that happen as they're going to school to get educated. But sometimes those are the biggest lessons and the biggest life skills that they're learning by having to go to school. And this generation is missing out on it. And I'm telling you what, it's criminal. Now, they claim that they're going to be able to pull off this distance learning. They claim that they're going to be able to figure things out and kids are going to get just as quality of an education at home online. But you and I both know that's not the case. And the reality is the parents have to buy into that type of education 100%. And there's some really good parents out there that will, and their children are going to do a little bit better. And then there's some parents that probably shouldn't have kids, some deadbeats that don't give a darn, and they're not going to do anything to help their kids. And their kids are going to suffer from that. Their kids are going to struggle. There's also the situations where maybe the home life is a little bit hostile. Maybe it's a little bit abusive to the children. And now the kids don't have an escape. They're stuck there 24/7 in that abusive situation. There's no way to check on these kids. There's no way to make sure that they're getting through life, that they're okay, that they're not suicidal. There's no friends that they're hanging out with on a daily basis that can help keep an eye on them. These are the type of detrimental consequences we have when we have leadership like Kate Brown here in Oregon that has turned into a complete dictator and is telling our communities what they can and can't do, and even how we have to educate our children or not. I'm telling you, my friends, this is going to have a long-term impact, and we as a society should stand up and say enough is enough. Engage, be vocal. Let's rattle our sabers. Let's make a lot of noise about this. We cannot afford to have our children uneducated. And that's exactly what, you know, if you follow any of these studies, Saul Alinsky, if you read about Marxism and socialism and these other countries that have successfully implemented that type of governance, one of the first things they do is try to make it so society's just uneducated. So they're fully dependent on government for everything. And I believe that's a lot of what we're seeing here. That's a lot of what this COVID hoax might actually be. And it's time for us to say enough is enough. And it's time for us to take our cities back, take our school districts back, take the education of our kids into our own hands. We don't need to listen to Governor Brown. And we need to be willing to fight for this, because honestly, if we don't, it's going to be too late and the damage will be done. And it's going to set the stage for the future of this country. We're not just talking about the future of our children. It's going to change the future of this country. Stick with us. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back here on Patriot Uprising Radio.
We're back with more Patriot Uprising Radio with Nikki Garris.
Hello, my fellow patriots, and welcome back to the show, Patriot Uprising Radio. I'm glad you're with me on this hot Saturday afternoon. You are with the hottest show in town here on Saturday afternoon. And if you want to like and share our Facebook page, Patriot Uprising Radio, that would be much appreciated. Send me a message on there and let me know what you're thinking of the show. And if you got any topics you want me to discuss, you can also send us an email at patriotuprisingradio@outlook.com. I love hearing from you guys, and it's just good to be here talking to you guys, my fellow patriots. You guys are the future of this country. You guys are going to be the group that we call on to protect us when the time is necessary. I will be right there with you, shoulder to shoulder. And my friends, I'm telling you, every day I am convinced our day is coming. We are going to have to fight for this republic. Now, I will fight civilly as long as I can, but there may be a time, and that time may be coming very quickly, that we're going to need to do more. And so I'm telling you now, you need to be prepared. You need to be vigilant. You need to prepare your families. You need to prepare your households, because I think we have some rough times coming, and I think they're coming quickly. And I think we could see a lot of big things happening in November. You know, it's a major election, the most important election, possibly, of our lifetimes. But regardless of the outcome of that election, I think we need to be prepared to defend ourselves. And so go out and get your family whatever resources it is they need to defend themselves, to sustain, and to preserve life. And I'm not just saying go out and buy firearms and buy ammunition. That's good. I think you should. Absolutely, I think you need to be prepared. I think you should have a stockpile of ammunition. I think you should have a variety of firearms, and I think you should be well trained. I think you should have the training to be able to use those safely and to be able to accomplish whatever it is you need to accomplish with them. You also need to be prepared with food. You need to have some type of food storage happening and make sure that your family has enough to survive for several months, 6 months, a year. So if you haven't started doing this kind of stuff already, you're a little bit behind. It's not too late. It's never too late. Now, preparing your family for these situations, it's a little bit of a commitment. It's a time commitment. It's a financial commitment. And sometimes people look at, oh my gosh, I got to have 6 months worth of food stockpiled, or I got to have these guns or this ammunition. And it scares them because all they're seeing is dollar signs. And they know that it's something that's hard for them to achieve or afford. You got to start somewhere though, friends. Start out little by little. Each month, try to add a little something. You know, when you go to the grocery store, pick up an extra can of rice, an extra can of beans. You know, just try to add to your pantry each month, little by little. And next thing you know, within a year's time, you got a little bit on the shelf that you can rely on. It will never be enough. I'll tell you, when you get into this kind of a lifestyle, it's never going to be enough. But you have to start somewhere. And if you never start, you're going to be in trouble the moment you need it. So start somewhere. The first way to do it is just educate yourself. And, you know, there's several different resources out there. But honestly, right now, I feel a calling that we need to stick together as a community and we need to start preparing. And because I do think the clock is ticking. And I think things can escalate to a point in this country very quickly that we'll need to rely on those resources and our knowledge and our skills. That's what I think. And I think it never hurts to be prepared. I always have these conversations with people, and I always tell everybody, there's a difference between being paranoid and being prepared in life. I'm not a tinfoil hat type of a guy. I am a realist, though. And, you know, there might be a fine line sometimes, but I don't think I'm paranoid. Everything that I'm preparing for, I know can happen and probably will happen in this country at some point. And I'm just trying to give myself and my family the best fighting chance to survive that. And the best fighting chance to try to sustain some resemblance of this country, this republic, of freedom, of liberty. And I think that's what all Americans, that's what all patriotic Americans want. They want to sustain this republic because we understand that it's a gift. And we understand that we're facing a huge threat, greater than any threat we have ever faced before. And it's on our doorstep right now. And it's going to be up to us. We can't rely on anybody else. We're watching law enforcement have their hands tied behind their back as crime is running rampant, as there's riots and terrorism happening in our streets, burning down our buildings, hurting our friends, innocent people, our elderly. It's disgusting, and we watch it happen every single day. And there's nobody protecting these businesses. There's nobody protecting the elderly. These terrorists have free rein because in areas where this is happening, we have weak leadership. We have disgusting, pathetic, weak leadership. Leadership that actually believe in some of the ideology that's created this mess. Leadership that are guilty of creating an environment that fosters the mess that we're in right now. And leadership that have no idea at all how to get out of this mess. And so I'm telling you, friends, it's going to be up to you and I. Our time is coming, and we need to be prepared. Now, when is the big question? And that's what we need to discuss. Stick with us. Don't turn that dial. We'll be right back.
We're back with more Patriot Uprising Radio with Nikki Garris.
Hello, my fellow patriots, and welcome back to the show, Patriot Uprising Radio. I'm glad you're with us today. We were just talking about getting prepared, getting your own household in order, knowing what you have to do to defend and protect your family, your loved ones, your neighbors, and, of course, our republic. Because at the end of the day, if the republic dries up, it will not be a pleasant place for any of us to live. And that's what we're fighting against. We're fighting against a dangerous, evil ideology. It's come up in many different ways throughout the years across the world. It's been called many different things. Communism, socialism, Marxism. It's evil. That's what it is. And that's what you guys need to realize. We're fighting evil. And guess what? They don't play by the rules. They get mean, nasty, and ugly. And we talked the last show how, you know, we have boundaries. There's things that we won't do. There's things that we will stop before we take it to the next level because we have morals and values that hold us back. And that's good. That's why we're better. And I have no problem with saying we are better than the other side. Because I believe the other side is evil, and what they want to do and what they want to form this country into is evil, and it's going to hurt people, and it's going to kill people. And so it's up to us to preserve this republic. It's up to us to fight against the evil. But we can't wait for it to happen. We got to start preparing now. And like I said, we're already behind the curve. We're a little bit late. But if you haven't done anything, start today. We absolutely have to. Now, stuff like this is happening in our country because of our weak leadership. So one of the biggest things we can do is educate each other and get out and vote. This November election, I can't stress enough how important it is. Get out and vote in November. Tell everybody to vote. Drag people down with you to vote. That's the first way we can combat this. Unfortunately, with how things are here in Oregon, and possibly how they're willing to cheat, stack the deck against us, and do anything else to change the outcome of our vote, we have to be prepared for Plan B. And you guys know what Plan B is. You guys got to prepare for it. We're at that point. We don't know what's going to happen, but we better be prepared. Why is it happening? Because of our poor leadership. Do we have a chance of changing it? If we can change our poor leadership. How do we change that? We turn out to vote. We need to be the majority, and we need to have the most ginormous red wave that anybody has ever seen in their life. We need to catch them off guard with our ginormous numbers that are going to show up and vote red. That's the only chance of saving this country, this nation. It's going to be an uphill battle in Oregon. I think we can do it nationally, but Oregon's going to be rough. We've got to get rid of Kate Brown. We've got to get her recalled. If you haven't gone out and signed the recall petition, get out there, find out where a petition is, and get your name on it. You have to sign that. We have to get that on the ballot, and we have to recall Kate Brown. We've got 3 more years of her crap if we don't, and she will drive Oregon and its economy to the ground, not to mention the policies that she will implement that go against our morals, our values, our religion, everything that we hold dear, evil policies that she's going to cram down our throat. Portland, what are you doing with Ted Wheeler? Why are you putting up with that guy? Seriously, don't you see what he's doing to your community? Ted Wheeler, the nutless wonder. Yeah, I said it. I said it. The guy has zero ability to fight his way out of a wet paper bag. He is a joke to the state. He's a joke in this country. And he took Portland, which, you know, we know the motto for Portland. Let's keep Portland weird. That's been the motto for Portland for several years. And we get it. We know it. There's communities that they have their own way about them. They're a little bit different. If you want to call it weird, fine. Portland's been weird for decades, but it's also been a beautiful city. It's also been a thriving city. It's one of the most beautiful cities there are in this country, actually, the setting and the local businesses, the unique businesses that are in Portland. And it was a destination spot for people. Even a conservative like myself, the values that I carry, I didn't mind taking my family, taking my wife to Portland every now and then and experiencing the bigger city life and partaking in some of the activities that they have up there and dining up there. Portland was a nice city. It was fun to go to, fun to visit, had a ton to offer, and it has been destroyed. Yeah, we knew for years it was weird, but it's not weird anymore. It's disgusting. It is evil. It is vile. And nobody wants to be in Portland anymore. Nobody wants to go visit Portland anymore. And why? Because of the nutless wonder. Yeah. Ted Wheeler. What a hypocrite. What a hypocrite. What's he done to protect you guys? What's he done to help the businesses in Portland? Between him and Kate Brown, what have any of them done for Oregon? How have they improved your life here in Oregon? How have they improved your business here in Oregon? Democrats. I know there are Democrats that are also capitalists. I know there are Democrats that are business owners. Has Kate Brown, has Ted Wheeler helped you? Have they helped your business in any way, shape, or form? The answer is no. You know it, and I know it. Stop lying about it. They are terrible for Oregon's economy. They're terrible for big business. They're terrible for small business. They're terrible for the individual. All they want to do is tax, 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 regulate, 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 put business underneath, and they want to make people dependent on the government. And you guys should be fed up. You should have had enough. Look at old nutless wonder Ted kicking out the feds, running the feds out of their own courthouse, off their own property, telling them, this is your fault. These riots are your fault. You can't be here. You've escalated the situation. Telling them that you don't want them to defend their own property, to protect themselves. And so what did they do? They left. You promised if the feds would leave, the problem would go away. You and the governor promised that. The governor said, hey, if the feds leave, I'll put in the state police and the problem will go away. Well, guess what? The feds held up their end of the bargain. The feds left. The state police showed up. Come on, Ted, what happened? I thought you promised the riots would stop. I thought you promised the terrorism would stop, but it didn't. It continued to happen. The police continued to get attacked. Buildings continued to get vandalized and broken into and looted and burned. Police precincts continued to have attacks on them. It didn't stop. You said it was going to stop. You said that the reason it was happening was because of the federal officers. They left and the problem still exists. And then you have the Multnomah County DA. Holy smokes. Who elected this guy? What a freaking joke. You know what? He is absolutely no law enforcement officer. He comes out and says, you know, these people that have been protesting and rioting and these people that the police arrested and actually pressed charges on. And granted, out of everybody that had broken the law, this was a small group of people that actually got arrested. So they must have been the worst of the worst. The ones that the police could not turn a blind eye on. And they charged these individuals with the crimes that they committed. And now you have this Multnomah County DA saying he's letting them all go, 400 of them, and he's not prosecuting. Can you believe that? Can you believe the double standard? You guys should be furious up there. I know the police are furious. The Portland police that stick their neck out, put their lives on the line to protect and defend the city, did their job, arrested the criminals, and now those guys are back on the street to hurt more people. Because you have a spineless mayor, you have a spineless DA, they're derelict of their duty. They're in violation of their oath of office, and somebody better file a lawsuit against them, and they should be held criminally. They are co-conspirators to the terrorism that is happening in your community. And it's a disgrace, and it's disgusting. Ted Wheeler, you nutless wonder, it's time for you to get out and let a man take over. It's time for somebody that's willing to stand up for their community and stand up for their citizens and uphold their oath of office. I'm getting really sick and tired of seeing Oregon be ran to the ground by a radical minority, and that's exactly what's happened. It's a radical minority that have weaseled their way into these positions of power, and the only thing they care about is bringing in socialism. They want to see our republic destroyed so they can push their socialist ideology and take over this country. And let me tell you something, my friends, if you think socialism sounds all right, if you think socialism is the way to get free stuff, look around. There's plenty of examples throughout history. There's plenty of countries right now. If you think socialism is so great, pack your bags and get the hell out, because socialism sucks and it will kill you. If you think it's so great, go try living in that system in a different country, and you're going to come back and you're going to say, wow, was I ever wrong? The United States of America is still the best place to live. We are the freest country to be, and we are the country that everybody else desires to be. Don't turn that dial. Stay right with us here on Patriot Uprising Radio. We'll be right back.
We're back with more Patriot Uprising Radio with Mickey Garris.
Hello, my friends, and welcome back to the show, Patriot Uprising Radio. Woo! It's a hot one today. It's Saturday, and it is a scorcher, so maybe the hottest day of the year in my area anyway. But you know what? We're getting through it, and we only got a few more weeks of summer left maybe, so I'm going to try not to complain too much. But you know what I'm going to complain about? Yeah, you know it. I'm going to complain about the protest and the rioting and the leadership that we have in this country. It's time for us to do something, my friends. What do you think is going to happen if Sleepy Joe Biden gets elected president and that wench, Kamala Harris, is VP? That woman is dangerous. And do you think that Joe Biden is going to be the president of the United States? Do you think that he's going to lead this country? Do you think that he has enough sound mind and wits left and that itty-bitty little brain of his to lead the country? Let me tell you something, my friends. When Joe Biden was at his finest, when he was in the best condition he had ever been in his entire life, top of his game, not even then, did he have it in him to lead this country. So let me tell you something. If he wins, if he gets the presidency, he will not be the president. Kamala Harris, you know that Indian. Well, now she's saying she's African-American, but when she ran for Congress, she said she was Indian. So what's it going to be, Kamala? Are you an Indian or are you an African-American? You know, if I recall, I think your dad's from Jamaica and your mom's from India, or maybe it's vice versa. Either way, I don't think that means that you're an African-American, but yet you're going to lie to the American people and lie. Holy smokes. She didn't waste any time lying. We knew she's a liar. We know that she's a vile, disgusting woman. But man, the very first speech she gave when they came out with their announcement, when they met together for the first time and addressed the nation, every word out of that woman's mouth, I swear, almost every word out of that woman's mouth was a stinking lie. And all it was the blame game. This is Trump's fault. This is Trump's fault. This is Trump's fault. Lie after lie after lie. It made my stomach turn because I thought, good Lord, how could anybody in this country be willing to vote for these vile, evil people? And you might look at Sleepy Joe Biden as being no threat, a little bit innocent. Like I said, he is not the guy that's getting elected as president of the United States. He might be the name on the ticket. But Kamala Harris and whoever else is pulling the strings behind the scenes is the actual president. So again, as a nation, if you love this country, if you love this republic, if you love your freedom and liberty, we have to stop this from happening. You know what Kamala said? I quote, Kamala said, "And once he's gone, and we have regained our rightful place in the White House, look out if you supported him and endorsed his actions, because we'll be coming for you next. You will feel the vengeance of a nation. No stone will be left unturned as we seek you out in every corner of this great nation. For it is you who have betrayed us." Wow, does that sound like something that a vice president should ever say? Does that sound like somebody or something that a potential candidate for the president of the United States should ever say? Kamala Harris said that just months ago. What a warning, friends. That is a blatant threat. If you voted for Trump, if you supported Trump, they will come after you with a vengeance. They will seek you out in every corner of this nation. No stone left unturned. You are their enemy, and they are coming to get you. Now, I read that, and I had to fact check it. And yeah, she said that. You're going to come after me, Kamala? You coming after me? You coming at me? Hey, let me raise my hand. I'll be first in line. You come at me. You come at me. And that's the mentality we all need to have. We can't cave anymore. It's time for us to fight. We have, over time, the moral turpitude in this country has started to wane. It started to slip. Our values are changing, and we don't even realize it yet. And it's because over time, small things have been implemented, incremental, and we don't notice it. And things that we would have thought were immoral, 20 years ago, our children don't think anything about today. That ideology has crept in. Our teachers are teaching our kids this at their youngest ages. And so what was a big deal to you and I is not a big deal to them. And that's what I'm talking about. The moral turpitude of this country. We don't even realize it, and we don't understand the consequences yet, but we are losing our values. And it's time for us to acknowledge that, and it's time for us to put our foot down and say, no, this country was built on certain values, certain principles, fundamentals that we cannot waver. Our founding fathers knew this. They designed this nation because of those values and principles. And it doesn't work. Here's the thing. They'll tell you all kinds of stuff, but the reality is this republic does not work if we lose those values. If we don't keep the morals intact that founded this nation, this republic does not work. So it's time for us to acknowledge that this has been happening, and we need to start shifting the pendulum back the other direction. And that's going to be a hard battle. It's going to be an uphill battle. But we can't turn our back on it, and we can't run from it. We got to face it head on like Americans and deal with it. And in doing so, there's going to be some casualties. There's going to be some consequences. There's going to be some deaths. That's the reality of it. But if we're unwilling to do that, why are we here in the first place? We've already lost the fight. We've already lost this country. It's time for us to get this country back to our roots. It's time for us to take it over, take it back from this minority group of radical extremists that have perverted our ways, that have perverted our Constitution, that have perverted our court systems, that have perverted our government. It's time to take it back from the dictators that are telling us that we can't assimilate, we can't go to church and worship our Lord and Savior, we can't go to school and educate our kids. But if you want to talk about how much you hate America and burn and loot and riot, nobody's going to stop you. If you want to commit crime, nobody's going to stop you, as long as it fits our narrative. Americans don't have to put up with this abuse. We are in dangerous territory, and it's time for us to make a decision. God bless you guys. Stay safe. Stay vigilant. Get prepared. We'll catch you next weekend on Patriot Uprising Radio.
You've been listening to Patriot Uprising Radio right here on KSLM and KSLM.news.